Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come yet again to hear word from you. And so we ask, God, that you bless this message, that you use it to change lives, that you use it to empower lives, and most importantly, that you use it that we can see what it is that you're telling us in this season of our lives. And so we ask that you take this, your preacher, allow the people of God to hear and see directly from you. It is in your Son's, Jesus the Christ's name, that the people of God declare together. Amen. This morning, if you have your Bibles, our scripture for our preaching word this morning will come from Acts chapter 4, verse 8 through 21. Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 21. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found like no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So if they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together, "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everyone living in Jerusalem knows that they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in his name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all of the people were praising God for what had happened. The word of God for the people of God. And so this morning, as we look at our sermon subject, we're going to look at the topic, like a boss. Like a boss. For those of us who spend their time on social media, or if you spend your time in pop culture trying to stay up with current events and things that is happening, our young people will be able to help us in this category. There is a phrase that is out based on a rap song called "Like a Boss." If you are in pop culture and you look at social media and you look at Instagram videos or Facebook videos, you find a lot of times these videos will pop up and the video entitled will say, "Like a Boss." And what you have is ordinary people doing ordinary things, but they're doing it in such an unbothered category, in such an unbothered way that people said, "She did that," or "He did that like a boss." But what is interesting, even as we are looking at the dynamics of the term "like a boss," I am reminded every time that I turn on the news, every time I read a newspaper, every article that is in my face and in our faces right now shows that we're living in times of unexpected trouble. I'm almost afraid to even turn on the TV or even turn on the news because my mindset says, what has Trump done now?
I'm almost afraid to turn on the news because at this point in where we're living in 2018, even the highest person in authority in the United States has gone to use social media and Twitter in more cases than not to express a concern, but he does that because he's walking in his authority as the president. Now, you can be an authority and you can be a boss and you can still use your authority and your God-given power for evil. You can use your authority or your God-given power or be a boss and not necessarily do the right thing with that term. And so what's scary in this generation, especially as we've been watching the news, we're going back in time and looking at what happened when Anita Hill came forward on Judge Clarence Thompson's. And now it's interesting, we're back where we were years ago. But this time, the question is, what are the authorities figures going to do in this situation? Are the authority figures going to answer to Trump, or are they going to answer to the God in which they claim to serve? What is interesting is right now, I'm not trying to say that politics are the most important thing in life, but if we just look at the political climate in which we're living, much of that political climate claims to do what it does in the name of Jesus. And so we must be very careful and understanding, young people and congregation this morning, who is our boss? Who is the authority figure in which we operate? Who is the authority figure in which we take claim and hold to the truth of? And it's dangerous right now, because much of those who are operating in our political boss authoritative figures are all claiming that what we are doing in the name of Jesus. And that's why I like, when I was growing up, my grandmama used to always say, baby, whatever you do, study the Bible for yourself. Study the word for yourself. Know God for yourself so that you can identify what's right and what's wrong. And when you know Jesus for yourself, it is interesting that when you know him, then you'll be able to do things in an extraordinary way. And when we look at our scripture passage for this morning, you find Peter and John dealing with some of the same issues back then that we're dealing with now. Peter and John, they were actually operating in the name of Christ. Peter and John were doing what they felt God had called them to do. Peter and John were disciples who said, we're going to do what Jesus has called us to do, regardless of who likes it. But what I know about good church folks, I'm not talking about no one at Emmett Grove, I'm talking about the other two churches that I work at. What I know about church folks, all of us sometimes have some authoritative roles that we play. And if we're not careful, we'll tell the disciples who are working in Jesus' name that they're not called to do it. And that's the situation that Peter and John find themselves in on this morning. It was the church that came out against what Peter and John was doing, because our scripture tells us that Peter was filled with the Spirit. Peter was doing what God had called him to do, but the rulers and the elders of the church were questioning what Peter was doing whenever they were anointing and working on a healing for a diseased man. The people in the church, the Sanhedrin of that time, were questioning what Peter and John was doing when they were performing miracles, not in their name, but in the name of the one who called them. Oh, we got to be careful in this season that people who are on the right side of church are the same bosses and authority figures that will cripple us in the midst of what God is calling us to do. And so we find Peter and John, they are going about God's business, and they have now performed this great miracle and signifying that God has anointed them to do the work of Christ. And they are basically telling the Sanhedrin and the rulers and the elders, we're doing all of this in the name of Christ. But if anybody knows critics, critics begin to question who gave you the authority to operate. And so Peter and says to them that our authority comes from Jesus, the one stone stone that the builders rejected, the one who has been cast out, the one where salvation lies within him. It is that name in which we operate. And so what Peter and John shows us this morning, that no matter how much you may be an authoritative figure, no matter how much you may be a leader in your community, no matter how much you may be a young person who's leading in your schools, that in every case, there are people who will question your gifts and your talents. And so Peter and John's gifts and talents are being questioned. And what's interesting is they're not being questioned because of why they should use their gift and talents. They're questioned because of people during that time who were considered bosses and authoritative figures said, you all aren't even educated enough to use your gifts. Young people, you got to be careful that when you're in school, I love teachers, I've had some great teachers, but there are some leaders and authoritative figures that are already afraid of the gifts that God has given you, and if you're not careful, they will question those gifts. We got to be very careful to understand who it is, the one that has called us. We have to be very clear that in 2018, in order for our communities to be better, in order for our lives to change, in order for us to do a major work in the kingdom, we have to be very clear who our boss is. Does anybody in here this morning know who your boss is? Anybody in here this morning know who the real voice of authoritative speaking is in your life? And I ask that question clearly because if we do not know who our boss is in this generation, people will feel comfortable questioning the call and the gifts on your life. It kind of sometimes happens like this when you're operating and someone has put you in leadership. They have this phone tree and it's called the gossip line. And they get on this phone tree and they tend to say, well, who gave sister such and such the right to lead this homecoming affair? Who gave brother such and such the right to go ahead and do the fish fry? But the reality is that when you know who your boss is, you can operate in that which God has called you to do. And we have to be careful because I'm so afraid that there are people who do not know Christ in this season that will think that what is happening in the world around us in the name of Jesus is accurate. And so that's where the church comes in. What I love about this text, Peter and John, they stand tall and they stand bold in their stance. They continue to do what God has called them to do. They decided that no matter what the people in the church in the Sanhedrin court said, we're going to move in the lane in which God called us to move. And so what this text tells us is that no matter who you are, whether you're young, old, or young again, Jesus uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And when you understand that God can use you regardless of your background, regardless of where you come from, regardless of how well you do on a test, regardless of how much you study, Jesus operates in ordinary people. But if you don't understand that Jesus can operate in you, you will allow people to tell you you're not good enough. If you don't understand that your boss is Jesus and he can use you in an ordinary way, you will allow people to say that you can't do something. When you understand who Jesus is in your life, when you understand that he is the supreme author of your faith, if you understand that he is the one that created you even in your mother's womb before she even knew who you would be, you would understand that ordinary people are the kind of people that Jesus uses. Oh, and so what I love about Peter and John, they are now going to take and lock Peter and John up. But what happens in this text is so great because the Sanhedrin people are still trying to find something to stick on Peter and John, and they can't. The Sanhedrin elders and the rulers are actually meeting and trying to figure out what can we do with them, because what we can't take away from them is the fact that this man has now had a miracle performed on him and he's healed. What they can't take away from Peter and John is that this man is not only healed, but those who are watching this see the miracle that Jesus has already performed. And so they're questioning, what is it that we do to have these men locked up? We can't deny that they performed this miracle. We can't deny that the miracle has been performed and everybody knows about it. But what we need to do is keep them from spreading this propaganda. Church, we have to be careful about who's with and against us. And so while they are looking at what's going on and how to lock Peter and John up, and they can't deny what has already happened, what they have decided to do is stop them from preaching the gospel any further. And so Peter and John replied, I don't know who you think you are. Peter and John replied, do you think that the God we serve wants us to obey to you or to him? And so what Peter and John is telling us this morning is that when God calls us, whether it's individually or collectively, when God is using us, whether it's individually or collective, when God is going to do something great in Gaithersburg, whether it's individually or collectively, we know that if we accept the salvation of Jesus, that we can walk boldly when we know who our boss is. I want to know, are there any saints in the house this morning that is willing to walk boldly for those things that Christ has called us to do? And when we walk boldly as Christians, we are able to stand in the face of adversity and say, God called us and we're going to do it anyway. And that's what I like about the church in this season, because even though people are giving Christianity a bad name, sometimes I find myself scared when I watch this, because in the name of Christ, all kinds of mess is happening. But then I'm reminded about someone who understood how to walk through mess. The in court, and those who were against Jesus always thought that they had him before he got to the cross. And so what they teach us this morning is that when people count you out, when people say that we're in control of your decision, when people say we're your boss and not your savior, when people say that the president is the head leader in this world, I'm reminded that in this season, those of us who love and call on the name of Jesus can walk boldly and declare that we are children of the risen Savior. But what's so great about it, Jesus gives us an example of what it means to be bold in the things of Christ. Jesus says, don't worry about what people will say to you. Jesus says, don't worry about how they will come against you when you're preaching the gospel. Jesus gives us an example when he says, go ahead and pick up your cross daily. And so what Jesus does is show us how he is the most authoritative figure in our life when he goes against the status quo. When he says, I don't care what you do to me, you can slay me, but I'm still going to that cross. What Jesus does is show us that young people, if there is any boss in our life, that boss is the name of Jesus, the one who took a walk all the way up to Golgotha's hill, the one who stood in the midst of trial, the one who came against his accusers, the one who said, I don't care what you do to me, I got a call on my life, and so I'm going to walk boldly even though this cross hurts. The one who took the whips, the one who took the stain, the one who said, I am going to get on that cross so that everyone will know that salvation is free to anyone who calls on the name of Jesus. And I'm so glad that trouble doesn't last always. And Jesus took that cross with him. He hung on that cross. He did it for over 48 hours. He got there and he hung on that cross. And when they took him off, he was buried in a borrowed tomb. And I can imagine those who were in authoritative roles at that time. They said, who's boss now? He done died and they done declared, I am the boss. But what's so good about my Jesus? He let them think that they were in control. But I am so glad that the Jesus that I serve had a little boldness in who he was. He said, I'm gonna lay here all night Friday and watch them celebrate now. I'm gonna lay here all night Saturday and let them think that they are in control. But early one Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. And that same power is the power that we have today. Jesus has given us power. Jesus has given us authority in his name. And what I don't understand, why there are so many people struggling looking for an answer. What I don't understand is why our young people are struggling when we have so many people who say they're Christians. We in this generation, in this time, in these troubled situations, are going to have to take thou authority and stand up and go vote in November, because it is our vote that is going to change the lives of many. It's that power in the name of Jesus that will be able to change our communities. But we can't change our communities. We cannot change our school systems. We can't even impact our churches if we don't know Jesus. It's great to know the word and the name Jesus. It is great to believe in the story of salvation. But you will never be able to walk boldly in the call that God has given you unless you accept him as the Lord and Savior of your life. As we stand to our feet, if we want to take back our communities, if we want to be able to walk side by side with people of all ethnicities, of all cultures, if we want to be able to make our communities better, we're going to have to accept the Christ that will give us the power to do that. There's a great work left for us to do, and I am convinced, no matter what comes on the news, no matter what is tweeted by the current president, my authority is in Jesus Christ. And because I know that, I know that everything is going to be all right. And so this morning, if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus as the Savior of your life, why don't you come? If you're uncertain about where you stand in your relationship with Christ, why don't you come? And if you're looking for a church home that is going to help you strengthen the power that you already have, that has been given to you through Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity to join us here at Emory Grove United Methodist Church, where I'm very clear that the authority and the shepherd in which we follow is that of Jesus Christ. And what makes it so much better is that we have a pastor who is shepherding us who loves Christ. And so if you're looking for a church home, if you've never been saved, or if you just want to get things right with Christ so that you can walk in the authority in which he's given us, the altar is open.